is the Duffin' Up Podcast.
What is going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Tuesday, August 10th. Fortunately, the closing ceremonies have happened, but you are very welcome to the Duffin' Up Podcast. My name is Brendan Monroe. As always, I have the one, the only, Michael Adams. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
Fantastic, Brendan. Fantastic. Ready to get rolling. Ready to get rocking. Had some good golf this past weekend. Olympics. Sad to see it go. But I think we only got, what, a year until the Winter Olympics?
Not so, even. We have like even. 4 months.
Let's go.
It's great. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they start up, I think, in February.
We know you're a winter guy, too. Heard the last
big
week.
Winter team win, hashtag team winter. Got to get that ice golf, baby. That should be in the Olympics. I mean, everything else is in the Olympics now, for Christ's sakes. We got to get ice golf in there. Let's go.
Underrated thing that Mike said the other day was underwater basket weaving should be in the Olympics. that was pretty cool.
My goodness. The amount of sports in the Olympics, though. We enjoyed it.
No, very it was unique, great.
Very unique. Great competition. Sights and sounds from Tokyo 2020. Terrific.
Wait, off the top of your guys' head, what is, right off the cup, what's your favorite Winter Olympic sport? Go.
1, 2, 3, biathlon.
That is an awesome event.
Is that the one with the archery and the skiing too?
Yeah, it's the shooting. But yeah, they cross-country ski.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
They shoot the targets and then the cross-country ski.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not I love the hockey, but like, yeah, biathlon. It's just cool to watch. It's so cool to watch.
It's so impressive too.
It's so like outdated that it's great. It's like a traditional sport that like is there because it's always been there.
The Winter Olympics is like skateboarding, you're in, trampolining, you're in. The Summer Olympics is like that. The Winter Olympics is like, we shall keep the biathlon.
Have to.
Oh, and as always, we have with us the Irish Chooch himself, Chooch Golf, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how you doing this evening?
Good. America claimed both gold medals in golf. We are a golf podcast, and we are in the US of A, and US of A has claimed both gold in the women's and the men's. It's a good year for the US of A and the world of golf globally. So ready to break it down.
What a segue. We usually have Mikey segues. Right now, that was a Timmy segue to end all segues. No one ever is going to do a better one. That was fantastic. We start off with Nelly Korda winning gold and a mea culpa from me. I don't know if you guys remember this from last week. I said, and I quote, the South Koreans are going to sweep it. And I know that I said that, and I quote, because Timmy cut that up and we posted it. So all of my words were right there. But boy, what an absolute week for Nelly Korda going out. She won it in round two. As soon as she hit that 62 in round two, I knew it was probably over. And not only that, but she had a chance for 59. She had a 62 and she double bogeyed.
She needed a birdie on that last hole for a 59. And God's honest, 59 in the Olympics, like one of those one in gazillion chance rounds that any professional golfer, any amateur golfer could ever shoot. And she did it in the Olympics in the second round. She was right there. And then on her second shot, she kerplunked it right into the drink. Nelly Korda, it doesn't matter. 59, no 59. She still won gold. She got it done. That's all. And good for her. I'm sure her sister was wicked happy for her. I mean, the parents must be so proud sending both girls over to represent the United States. And both were successful. Just Nelly was a little bit more. And now go USA, you know, as Michael would say, USA.
Now, those two are great. Bouncing back and forth, Nelly and Jessica. I mean, they just support one another. And it's so apparent they are so happy when both do well. And it's just, you never see it. And their mom was an Olympian too, or a professional golfer. What was she?
Oh, you are we gonna talk about their family?
It's lights out.
It's insane. Her father was an Olympic tennis player for the Czech Republic and a professional tennis player. Her mother was a professional tennis player. Her brother is a professional tennis player. And then Jessica is also plays on the PGA Tour as well.
Incredible.
Like what?
Incredible.
How is this possible?
I don't know. I don't know what's in their genes. I don't know. You know what's in the father's genes, an immaculate thing. But anyway, we don't know what's in their genes that's causing them to be this great at a sport that we can only hope to be ever as good at. And I envy them, but very happy that they're on our side in the USA. And quarter parents, they raised not only two great athletes, but from the interviews you see, from everyone, what you hear, and sounds like they're great people too, which is something that it's easy to back them when they're good people, for sure.
Absolutely. And what a year it was for Nelly Korda. Mm-hmm. She got her first major this year after in 2020 at the ANA, she ended up losing in the playoff after she had the lead for most of the tournament.
Playoffs.
But she ends up pulling off a major, major coup at the Olympics. Like it was fantastic. It was fantastic to watch that 62. And if she would, I mean, just imagine if that would have been the 59 instead. Like the double bogey on 18 is brutal. It's absolutely brutal. But I'm very happy that she was able to win the Olympics. She won the PGA. She won the women's PGA earlier this year by 3 strokes. And pretty cool to be able to share it with her sister too. Jessica represented the US. She used to back in the day. Jessica Korda represented the Czech Republic when she was younger in tournaments, but now she reps the US. So we love you, Jessica Korda. And it was a good, decent showing for the US team as a whole. Obviously, when you take home gold, like that's a big one. Jessica came in tied for 15th. Danielle Kang finished tied for 20th. And then Lexi Thompson finished 33rd. So, you know, not the worst. Pretty happy with it. And again, on the men's side, we got the gold. On the women's side, we got the gold. America is a golfing nation.
Really happy they got in all 4 rounds too. I know there was talk about it being shortened due to heat being incredibly hot. It was like heat index of 110 plus. I think Lexi Thompson's caddy bowed out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because it was just unbearably hot. But I think there was a tropical storm in the forecast too. And I know they stopped play. Was it the round 4 on like the 16th hole? They stopped play and resume shortly after, but I know talk was going down about maybe making it a 54 hole event, but I think they got out there early and made some full days of golf schedules to get all 72 in, and it was a great event.
Absolutely. And very happy for the country of Japan, because Monet Inami was able to take home the silver medal. So Japan was not shut out on the golfing medal count. Did great job from Monet Inami. And Lydia Ko with the bronze medal. Lydia Ko in 2016 with the silver medal in Rio comes in here hoping for the gold, gets the bronze. I mean, she is still, I believe Lydia Ko is still only 23 years old. So we are still going to be seeing a lot. She's 24. We will be seeing a lot of Lydia Ko in the future still. Who knows? Maybe gold medals in her on her mind in 3 years' time.
I mean, we've never talked more about Lydia Ko than I've never talked more about Lydia Ko than obviously on this podcast, but in this year alone. But I seeing that name, it's just it floats off the tongue. I want to see her win. I put a dollar down on her this week. But anyway, I am on board for women's golf. Brendan, you have gotten me onto this train of just following women's golf. It is fantastic. I am fully invested in this, and it is just as entertaining as the men. The men make more money, understandable, just because of TV contracts and everything like that. They get the viewers. But man, oh man, it takes nothing away from the females, the ladies, because they are striping the ball down the fairway. They are making putts from all over the place. It is absolutely just great golf to watch. Holy smimony. And I like that the Olympics this year, it really put them on a pedestal, because this is their biggest event of the year, or every 4 years, because they really get that publicity. They are on primetime television, on NBC 10. It is great to see. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So good for the girls. Good for the Korda sisters and Lydia Ko for bringing home the bronze dinger.
I think we talked about it a little last week too, with like, you look at track and field, you look at swimming, all these great athletes idolize people before them who have run or swam in the Olympics. Golf wasn't around back, you know, even what, 8 years ago in the Olympics. So
first time since I think it was in the 1900s was 2016.
Yeah. So again, these professional ladies and men don't really grow up like seeking Olympic golds, because just it wasn't a thing. But now it's starting to take form, and you're probably getting some young kids out there idolizing these Nelly Kordas and Lydia Kos and Xander Schauffele's, and now they're kind of starting a trend. And hopefully golf stays true and continues to be an Olympic sport, and you know, gets that recognition it deserves. And hopefully you see more people from around the world partake in golf and get out there and want to win that gold for their country.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at who came in fourth place, Aditi Ashok from India.
Yeah.
Like, I had never really heard of her before. I knew she was a tour player. She plays on the Ladies European Tour, which is the, you know, equivalent of the European Tour for the men's side. And, you know, I mean, I knew she was a decent player, but she goes out and she finishes fourth place. Imagine if she would have gotten a medal, how crazy India would have been golf wise just for her. So you get to see a lot of these different areas, and it is great to see. It was great to see the course kind of stood up, because I thought it was going to maybe not bounce back as good as I hoped. Because, you know, the men did tear it up the week before, but course was in immaculate shape again. It was an unbelievable 4 days for them. And I was really, really happy to be able to watch a lot of it. And definitely very happy that the U.S. pulled home gold again. USA number one.
That's right.
Kind of shocking. South Korean, you didn't have a Jin Young Ko was tied ninth at 10 under, 7 shots off the mm-hmm. winner. I mean, you scroll down, NB Park, 5 under, just a little shocking. You didn't see those South Koreans hold par as well as maybe you would have thought.
Like I said, I got a big mea culpa, because I was pretty adamant, but I was like, I think the South Korean women could sweep this. None of them. Not even close. How could I forget about the world number one, Nelly Korda? Just totally forgot about her. Just wrote her off. Yeah, hey, silly of me.
That pressure of getting that gold for military exemption. That pressure, man. Pressure.
That's true.
Gonna get you.
That is true. MB Park got it, so she doesn't got to do it. So happy for her. But yeah, absolutely on that side. You know, and that was the main reason why I did pick Sungjae Im in my Olympic men's bracket, because I was like, one of them's going to do it. One of them's going to try and get gold and go all out. And neither of them did that great. And I was like, darn.
They're going to war. They're going to war.
What can you do?
What? It's a completely different culture over there. I mean, I don't can't even begin to tell you. I mean, obviously, their biggest rival is very close to them as far as country versus country. And so they take their military service very seriously. Obviously, their population is not nearly as big as ours, so they need all the help they can get. And so be safe, boys. We hope you get back on the golf course. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's I don't know when they're going to go, but they unfortunately will be going. But that's okay. So
they do have a common enemy for us. I mean, not that we're currently at war with them, but we don't usually take the sides of the people that they don't take sides with. So
that's true.
So technically, by the transitive property, they are fighting for us.
It's true. That is true. Good.
I know
good
we'll probably get to it too, but I think Siwoo Kim might leave tomorrow for the military after his debacle at St. Jude.
Well done. Well done into another Mikey Segways. Oh, look at this. He's becoming the master of the Segways. Mikey Segways is FedEx St. Jude. Boy, oh boy. What a Sunday. What a fantastic little Sunday we had.
It was pretty cool. It was
fun. We had my boy, Abraham Answer, at the top of the leaderboard. We had Mike's nemesis, Sam Burns, at the top of the leaderboard. We had Hideki Matsuyama at the top of the leaderboard. We had Harris English and Bryson DeChambeau at the top of the leaderboard. We had Cameron Smith at the top of the leaderboard at one point. Mm-hmm. It was going crazy. And then all of a sudden, everyone just hit the back nine and forgot how to play golf.
Right.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Watching Bryson melt down first, I was like, okay, we got our Bryson meltdown. This we knew it was coming sooner or later, and it came. We then got the Cameron Smith meltdown on 18 when he tried to go through the trees, and it just bounced off a branch and into the neighborhood's yard, and double bogeyed that, didn't get into the playoff. But the biggest one, besides the Siwoo Kim 13, biggest one, Harry English, 4-shot lead with 9 holes to play, and then goes 5 over and doesn't even make the playoff.
I literally was watching the front nine. Then I had to go officiate basketball for like 5 hours. So I missed the back nine, but I get home and it's on rerun and I hadn't checked my phone and I didn't see English. It's on rerun and the playoffs just starting and I didn't see English or DeChambeau. And I was absolutely flabbergasted.
Cameron Smith.
English hit 20 under. I mean, the winner was 16. English was at 20. And he didn't even sniff. Well, I guess he sniffed the playoff. He missed a putt on 18. But they're talking about it. They were put on the clock, right? They were playing slow. Little do you know, Bryson playing slow.
I mean, what else is new? Yeah, Bryson.
But I didn't see them either. Them in the playoff, and I'm like, DeChambeau and English were at the top of the leaderboard, and neither of them sniffed it.
And you can't always usually Bryson, it is for a slow play, but both of them were just hitting it all over the course in the water and they had to take drop balls. And Harris English had to take a few extra strokes on every hole. So it was kind of both of them on that one. Did you see the one where Harris English, he had to punch it under a tree? I believe it was like, I don't know, maybe it was like 11, 12, 13. I don't know, anyone. But he hit a shot like we would hit. We would try to go under the tree, but he just basically skipped it in the rough and it went up like 40 yards. It just, I forget what they called it. They said the rough just ate it up or something like that. But, and then.
That hole 16 when he bogeyed?
Yes, I believe.
Yeah, so. That was 16th. Yep. So with him, what killed him was the par threes on the back. Absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah, 11.
Double bogey at 11. Double bogey at 14. Dude, what are you doing?
Fun back nine, 11, 8, so many people up.
11 was a nightmare. I mean, that was Siwoo Kim. That was the 13.
Five balls in the water. Five.
Couldn't do it.
Five. Just put it to the center of the green. I mean,
one time for me.
Everybody seemed to be going at that pin, and it was like you're hanging on the edge there.
How many balls were in that bunker? That little,
right.
Little bunker.
That was a neat little bunker. But Bryson, I mean, even his first one went in the water, and then his second one, he's going dead aim at the pin and bunker. I mean, hey, we didn't give Cam Smith. I know we're hating on him a little bit, but 18 putts on Friday. I mean,
unbelievable.
Ties a PGA record, 18 putts.
And it just made his demise like so sadder. Because like I love Cameron Smith. And watching him just kind of go down the shitter on Sunday on literally not even until the 18th hole. He was fine. He was playing decent. Then the 18th hole comes. He had a clear way to go under the tree. That's the thing. I didn't understand that. I was like, you could just get it under the tree and then get it back into the fairway and then hope to, you know, put a shot close and hopefully make a putt, and then you're still tied for the lead.
So can you explain that rule to me? He hit the tree, went out, yep, of bounds, and then he took the ball immediately. He knew it went out of bounds. Immediately took the ball from his bag and knew exactly. He plopped it down right where it was.
I think you're allowed to do that. Like I don't know.
He did it with that. You know, the PGA Tour players, there's so many rules and they're so careful these days with the different rules. Usually they're like, oh, Bryson, bring the rules official over.
Yeah.
Come tell me what I got to do here, or just to clarify. But nope, no question. He just took the ball out of the bag, dropped it, and hit. It was.
That's the stroke and distance rule, right? You can always play it back where you originally hit from.
Yeah.
But like, yep. Bryson on, I forget it was 8 or 9, he used that rule to his advantage. He was kind of nestled up against a car path, and he kind of like,
yeah,
drops the ball from his knee, and he has it bounce at a certain spot, so he knows it's going to roll back towards the car path, and eventually on that, after that second drop, he can just kind of position it,
place
and
it,
not,
yeah,
and not drop it. But yeah, they all know the rules so well, and I didn't see Cam Smith's debacle on 18, but I did hear about it, and like Brendan said, he had a shot under and could have just played for the playoff. Instead, he's, hey, go big, go home.
It was just absolutely brutal. I mean, so it wasn't just Harris English. Harris English, +3. Cameron Smith, +2. Bryson DeChambeau, +4. Ian Poulter, +2. Scottie Scheffler, +4. Like, Louis Oosthuizen, +4. Poor little Louis. Poor Louis.
They said the wind ticked up on Sunday, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Jason Kokrak, +4. Tony Finau, +4. There was so much more plus. It was bad. It was a bad day of golf from our people. Jim Herman, +5. Ooh, Martin Laird, +7. Just a rough day. Siwoo Kim, +8.
With a 13.
Not bad. Oh,
Kevin Kisner, +9. What a day. 79. Oh, awful. Yep. So I think the wind picked up a little bit. The course started playing a lot harder. You know, just a little bit of a rough day overall. But let's not talk about the guys who played poorly. We'll talk about Hideki Matsuyama going 7 under on his last day to get into the playoff. We'll talk about Mike's nemesis, Sam Burns, going 6 under to get into the playoff.
What is on his face?
Oh, no, it's a mustache.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's not great. It wasn't great. Hey, he almost won with it, though. Even though he's won already this year, he's actually having a phenomenal year. Like, a phenomenal year. And Mike just picked him in the PGA and will never forgive him for withdrawing.
Bad back with Drew.
Oh.
Still in the doghouse.
And he was on such a streak that he was on such a streak too when he was going into that PGA. Poor guy. Poor guy. But then we have 2 weeks in a row now, a Brendan Monroe specialty. Abraham Answer. The little man out of Mexico. aka Texas, born in Texas, raised in Mexico, University of Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner. Unbelievable. What a show we put on. Able to get into that playoff. You know, first hole, everyone, you know, the first time down 18, everyone pars. The second time goes right up, smacks it. Absolutely smacks it close to the hole. And then you saw Sam Burns have the same putt and a little bit shorter. And he just a full lip out. Reminded me of Morikawa last year at Colonial. I was like, oh, yikes.
Yeah, that toilet bowl was heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. And then when Abraham Answer made that putt, the look on his face did not change. He was serious the entire time. He nailed that putt. I mean, I'm sure he just assumed Sam was going to make it. I mean, he was
probably like, all right, we got Hideki out of here. Like, now I got to play this hole one more time and we'll get it.
Right. He just said, and then when Cam missed it, when Sam Burns missed it, they were like, oh, we won. It's like you're just expecting, all right, what am I going to hit off the tee coming in? I mean, that's the way to play. You have to plan like that person's going to make the putt. You can't just like hope that he misses it. But that was a no-brainer. I mean, Sam Burns, I don't know if I could have made that putt, but geez, the loop. He gave him a line.
Right. He had the same putt. I mean, it did look like it broke maybe a little harder, but I think Sam might have hit it a little less firm. Abraham's looked good from the get-go, and it looked like Sam Burns might have played it middle left, should have played a little more left with how much pace he hit it. But if you got to feel good for Abraham, you know, he first win on the PGA Tour, guy makes his own tequila, Fletcher Azul, rocking that sweet hat. Go buy some merch on his little website. I mean, afterwards he's saying, you know, he's played in tournaments where he's played lights out and he's finished like second, third, fourth. And he's like, man, I played well enough to win this week. And he didn't. But this week he said he left a couple shots out there. He thought he left a bunch of shots out there on Sunday. And, you know, it's just golf, man. Really can't, like Brendan said, everybody was plus, 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 shanking, water, shit in the bed. But you never know how the cookie crumbles. And good for him. Really happy for him. And saw some cool little things on Instagram or TikTok today about Answer and where he grew up in Mexico and how he wasn't like kind of groomed on a luscious golf course. It was more like raggedy, rickety, kind of just ho-hum golf course where he really learned to shape balls and grind out shots and play for fun. And it wasn't like he was some country club kid. So hats off, Abraham. Good shit.
Oh, yeah. It was very much like the John Daly course we read about in Arkansas, like very similar stories of, you know, just a kid who screw up on a municipal course. And I mean, down in Mexico, it's even more rare, you know, basically playing on dirt, but being able to play and, you know, it's a great, great story of him coming back to America, you know, for college, playing at Oklahoma, getting his shot and making it on tour. And, you know, he's been such a steady Eddie guy for the last couple of years too. Like I remember, you know, last year in Harbortown, like Abraham or 2020 Harbortown, like Abraham Answer finishing second. Like there's so many of those tournaments where you were just like, hey, Abraham, like I love Abraham Answer. He's good. I like him. The Masters a couple of years back, you know, he was right in contention too until the end. So it's really great to hear about these guys, you know, coming out of nowhere and not coming out of nowhere, but like really having that build up and that build and that build and that build. And he finally gets his first win on tour and boy, is it a big one. He moves into sixth on the FedEx Cup points. I think he brings home about $2 million from this tournament as well. What a day for Abraham Answer, huh?
Great.
He played in Tokyo too, right?
Yes, he did.
What a feat.
He played in Tokyo. And Carlos Ortiz played in Tokyo. He's the fourth ever Mexican golfer to win on the PGA Tour. He's the fourth player of Mexican descent to win on the PGA Tour. So, you know, it's an unbelievable story for him. Hearing his press conference after, it just reminds me of, you know, Southwestern Texas, Mexico, Oklahoma, all that. Just like hearing him talk. Great to hear him talk. Definitely has that Tex-Mex accent. So, like, you know, you can hear a little bit of the Spanish flair, but at the same time, he sounds like a guy from Texas. But an unbelievable event for him. And, you know, like we said before, with the women's side growing the game, like his win this year, Carlos Ortiz winning that, like, it definitely will help to grow the game in Mexico too. You know, now they've got the Mayacoba Classic down there. We've got the Mexican Championship next year. Like this will definitely help continue to grow golf in that country.
Big time. I know these guys travel a bunch, but I mean the jet lag, the amount of travel, the amount of hours put in grinding over golf and then getting in a plane and traveling back. And I mean, it's just impressive. You got Answer up there. Matsuyama played. I think Paul Casey played. He was up there. It's just, did Cam Smith play with Australia or no?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just DeChambeau. What happened there? I mean, he got bounced from the Olympics because of a little COVID and he's good. Yep. Passed some tests. Good to go.
Yep.
I mean, that guy walking around yesterday, just you could see the smoke coming out of his ears. I mean, he was never comfortable.
No, he wasn't. It's hard to watch him sometimes. Like, there was the controversy again over the weekend of him not yelling, like he's hitting it into the fans and he's not yelling for. Like, and you know, there are some other guys who do it too. Like I saw, I actually think it was Harris English did the same thing on Sunday, or maybe not Harris. Yeah. Harris English did the same thing on Sunday. I think a couple of other people did the same thing over the weekend too, but it's just like when it's you, Bryson, and you consistently do it, that's the issue too. It's like he consistently does it and he consistently gets caught on camera where he doesn't say it and he hits it right into the crowd. And you know what? Like it's, come on, man.
It's not even media calling him out anymore. It's actual like.
Yeah, it was Bern Weisberger and Eduardo Molinari who are.
Dick Bland. You know,
Eduardo Molinari is a decent PGA guy. You know, he had his days back in the mid to late 2000s. Frankie then over Wally pipped him as the best Molinari on the tour pretty quick.
He calls him Frankie.
Oh, yeah. You got to call Francesco Frankie. He's not Francesco. He's Frankie. He's Frankie Molinari. but yeah, then you got Bern Weisberger, who's like played at the Olympics. Pretty good guy from Austria, has won on the European tour, pretty consistent in the majors. Like, yeah, dude, you deserve to get called out when you don't do that stuff.
I mean, caddy's just got to be hammering the four call. Right?
The new caddy too, though. That's the thing.
Every time he steps up to the tee, just he hits, you hear the ball, four!
Way to go. Down the middle.
Someone listening to this in their car just got into a car accident. Four. Well, they got to get a new upholstery in their car. You just made them wet themselves. But anyway, you're right, Brendan. Like it's a gentleman's game, and as far as like the caddy yelling it, I mean,
at least like kind of mutter it 4-4-4-4-4-4. You know,
say fucking four. Literally, like it's not that hard, guys.
Have you ever like been on your own shot and you know your ball is like traveling towards people, but you're like in the trajectory that it's going, it's not going to hit them, so you don't call four or you give it a late four call, but someone else yells four or something like that. Like, I'm trying to like, when is it appropriate to yell four for someone else?
Oh, like, no, that's, yeah. I mean, people do that all the time. If you watch the guys, like, on tour, too, like, if they know something's going left, like, they'll point, like, you know what I mean? Like, their partners will, like, point.
Yeah, and they'll say it, too. They'll say it,
but, like, Bryson's not saying, like, it's not that he's not saying it. He's not saying it often enough that he's getting caught on camera not saying it. He's not saying it, and it's literally hitting right into groups of fans or the volunteers, and you're just sitting there and you're like, come on, dude, like it's not that hard.
And it is worse in his situation because it's a group of
Massive.
Like 200 people. I mean, at least.
Not a foursome ahead of us, Tim, where you're like, that's going to skirt by him. They might hear it, but it won't hit him.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to hit someone. There's a very high chance. So, yeah.
Especially because what he's doing is he's cutting the corner. You know, he's cutting the corners. He's trying to do all that stuff. Yeah. And if he doesn't hit it, it's like the thing he said at the Open. Like, he's got to control the misses. It's like, no, you can't control misses. Like, that's the whole point of a golf club. You hit it or you don't. Like, you hit the sweet spot or you don't hit the sweet spot, and then you get in trouble. End of story. Like, if you're going to do that, then stop taking all of these chances and just try and go back to your regular game. But if you're going to keep swinging out of your boots and, you know, going and trying to go into the crap and like trying to cut all these things, like, yeah, you got to say four, dude, when it goes the wrong way.
What do you think going back to his regular game means? And do you think, like, he already hits his driving iron 300 yards. So, like, is that good enough? Like, can he just,
Cameron Champ won a tournament on the last day by just hitting his two iron off the tee the entire time. And the one time he didn't, he almost ended up costing himself when he hit driver at the 3M on the 18th hole, and it just went whoop.
Yep.
My thing is like, he even said at the beginning of the week he lost like some clubhead speed, and like, honestly, like, I don't know if you could tell on like Thursday or Friday like how much clubhead speed he lost, but like his drives were kind of going fine. Like, yeah, they weren't going as far, but they were going in the fairway.
Yeah, you're right.
There's no need to swing out your ass every time, dude.
When, like, before this year, like, when Bryson's in the mix, like, on Sunday, there was never really a kind of a doubt that he would kind of flounder. You know, he was always, when he was in contention, and he kind of rose to the occasion for the most part. But the last two events, both the PGA Championship and now St. Jude here, when he's in the lead or in contention on Sunday, he's really flopped. So I'm it makes it interesting. It makes it exciting. I'm, again, not the biggest Bryson guy at the moment, so it's kind of exhilarating a little bit.
The worst thing that could have happened to his game is that when he won the US Open, he just thought like, oh, I can just bomb and gouge all the time. You know what I mean? Because he did. He tried that for the next couple tournaments, and he kept being terrible.
That's how he won at Wingfoot. So hopefully, maybe that was a one-off. Maybe he just got lucky.
I mean, I'm not going to say that. I mean, he played really well too. But yeah, he was literally like, he didn't hit fairways at Wingfoot. He didn't hit him.
Never.
And he just took a pitching wedge.
And there was no one there to yell four.
Yeah. Maybe he just, there's no one there to say, hey, Brooksy.
I just think with all the turmoil and commotion and kind of backlash he's been getting as of recent, I think that's got to build up to his nerves and testiness on these big events on Sunday. I don't think it helps. I think he's kind of a mental midget at times.
Oh, his mental midgetness is like,
it's grown exponentially.
And it's well documented too. I mean, last year, or maybe it was earlier this year, he literally had his caddy like block the cameraman as he was walking down a hole because he had just hit it into the water and he was sulking. So his caddy goes up to the PGA Tour cameraman, whose full job is to get Bryson's reaction to hitting a bad shot. That's his job. He does it to everyone who hits bad shots. That's their job. But Bryson's the one guy who's like, who yells at his caddy to then run over and block the camera guy, to which then his caddy quits, which is, you know, again.
Is Bryson going to be in this Wyndham? I don't think he's going to be in this Wyndham
one. No, he's not playing. No, he's not there this week.
He didn't talk to the media at all either.
He does. When he plays bad, he doesn't. And it's kind of whatever, but it's...
He's got to start to get fined. I want to see him get fined, so he's coming out with the Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here, so I don't get fined.
That'd be great. That honestly, like, just go full villain, dude. Why not? Like, literally, why not?
Sure.
But hey, what do I know? He's just a dummy.
That's the question. What does he have to do to get back in good graces with the people he's not in good graces with? What is it going to take? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I don't.
Maybe he just has to lay low for a while, but it's tough when he's always in the spotlight.
I would agree with you there. It's definitely hard. But
maybe win. Maybe he has to win.
But he's already won twice this year.
I know.
So, like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, okay, like, but I will say, like, at the Honda, people were rooting for him.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, but then he pulled that thing where he got out of the way of a sprinkler head and Lee Westwood had to hit it out of a divot. You know what I mean? So then people kind of turned on him again. And then he was a robot at his press conference and, you know,
yeah,
thanked everyone, thanked all of his sponsors, and then not his family. So, you know, overall, hey, it happens. Would not want to be him in this situation, that's for sure. But you know, we move on, and coming up, we've got we got another great tournament this week, but we also had a fantastic alternate event this week, as with all of the World Golf Championships. We had the Barracuda Championship in Truckee, California with the modified Stableford. Really cool to see guys all the way up in like plus 40s, plus 30s, and you're just like, ah, this is sweet. But, you know, shout out to Eric Von Rooyen, who continues the streak of first-time champions at the Barracuda Championship. Like, it is, it's pretty cool that they do these other events. I actually really, really like it. But, you know, really interesting. Last couple winners. 2020, Richie Wierenski, hometown boy, Massachusetts native. 2019, first time winner on the PGA Tour, Colin Morikawa. 2018, first-time winner on the PGA Tour, Andrew Putnam. 2017, first-time winner on the PGA Tour, Chris Stroud. And 2016, first-time winner on the PGA Tour, Greg Chalmers. So as you can see, we've got a pretty decent amount of guys on here who have won the modified Stableford event. 2015, it was won by JJ Henry, who was not a first time winner on the tournament. So that doesn't count. But yeah, so awesome event. Congrats to Eric Von Rooyen. Not really too much else to talk about on that one. I didn't really watch a lot of it. So I'll say that. Tuned in because Scott Harrington was in on it for a little bit, but then they took him off TV. So then I tuned out. Oh man.
So in the, so we got the Wyndham coming up, right? Like you said,
we have the Wyndham coming up this week. Before we talk about the Wyndham, though, some major changes to the PGA Tour schedule for the 2021-2022 season. Big things that jump out: the Scottish Open is officially a PGA Tour event for next year. The Irish Open is not a PGA Tour event, but they are doubling the purse from $3 million to $6
million. Wow.
And it's may become a PGA Tour event in 2022-2023. And finally, the saddest of all the news, the Northern Trust for 2021 and 2022 has officially been chopped from the FedEx Cup playoffs.
No more golf in the Northeast for the playoffs.
No more playoff golf for the Northeast. So sad. We do get the U.S. Open in Brookline next year at the Country Club, which is great. And we always do have TPC. We always have the Travelers at TPC Deer Park. But yeah, I mean,
River Highlands.
River Highlands, sorry. Call it Deer Park because Travelers and deer, stupid. But, you know, I've been going to that tournament since it was the Deutsche Bank way back in the day. when it was one of Tiger's co-sponsored tournaments. It's just sad, man. It's sad to see it go.
Definitely too bad. Definitely too bad. But hey, maybe we'll be able to play TPC in August now. You know,
never could before. That was for sure. Oh man, we also got a really, really big discount because we played the week after the tournament when it was all destroyed. So that was always fun. But finally, yes, we will talk about the Wyndham Championship. The final event of the PGA Tour calendar before the playoffs. So that means there are going to be guys in this event trying to scratch and claw into the top 125 in order to get in to the FedEx Cup playoffs and have a shot at $10 million. Now, will they win the $10 million if they finish 125th? Probably not. But you never know. You never know. They could go on a three win streak. We almost had that last year with Dustin Johnson. He won two out of the three. Honestly, probably should have won the BMW as well. But what a putt by John Rahm. What a putt by John Rahm. Oh, absolutely amazing. But, you know,
60 plus feet.
Oh, yeah. 66, 67 feet, I think it was. And it was freaking beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
He's not defending his title?
Well, that's not this week. The Wyndham is this week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh, Michael. Getting a little before us. Jim Herman will be there to defend his title.
Yep, Jim Herman, that's right.
Jim Herman pulled it off last year too. He was no one thought he was going to be able to do it. Came out of nowhere on that leaderboard. And Jim was Herman, able to
he's currently 171 on the FedEx Cup list. Got a lot to gain by another victory by a defending title.
And I think it was very similar to last year with Jim Herman as well. I think he was outside of the top 125 by a significant margin. Comes in, wins the Wyndham. JT Poston won it the year before as well. So, you know, got a couple guys in here who know what they're doing. Webb Simpson goes every year because he's one of the big Wyndham sponsors. So Wyndham's one of his big sponsors. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes sense, to be honest with you, with Webb being a Wyndham guy.
Yep.
Makes total sense.
Thanks.
Just need to get him on Skechers now too. But yeah, so big week down in Greensboro, North Carolina. Another reason why Webb plays there, because, you know, Wake Forest guy, everything like that too. So we may be seeing that. I think Will Zalatoris will be in the field.
Will is there. Yes, he is.
Guess who has to win in order to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs?
Oh, I know why he's on my list.
Will Zalatoris. Mm-hmm.
No, that's not why.
Oh, who did you think I was saying?
He has to win in order.
Yeah. So he is technically not a full PGA Tour member this year.
Oh, that's right. That's
right. Because he was a Korn Ferry guy.
Right.
Up until he finished second in the Masters. And then he got all these invites because he finished second in the Masters. But so he has to win in order to get in. Couple of the biggest names right now, right on the cusp, Ricky Fowler, I believe is 126th.
130. I got the list right in front of me.
Oh boy. I did not know it was that bad. I thought he was right on the cusp.
All he's gonna do is have like a top 25 finish and he'll be in there.
Oh, you want to know a great one right here? Scott Piercy's at 126. That's a guy. If you've never watched him play golf, his swing is pretty sweet. He's got a little halt at the top too. But yeah, I mean, Ricky Fowler not in the field last week at the Barracuda was a little surprising, since he knew he needed to play in order to get in.
Couple other guys to look for who are just you know, within 10 of that 125 to maybe make a shine. Rory Sabatini just got a silver medal over in Tokyo. He is 141, but so basically that only separate, they're only separated by like 60 points. So he is 141 right now. Francisco Molinari playing decent. I mean, he had a good showing in the US Open. I mean, we said this last week, Justin Rose, a complete surprise. Tommy Fleetwood's down there. And then, and Ricky Fowler, like you said, I don't be surprised if these guys make a push to at least get into the Northern Trust. I mean, if you want to put them in your fantasy lineup, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they made a cut and, you know, at least had a top 20, top 30 victory, you know, not a victory, but at least a finish.
A couple of guys right on the cut right now. Matt Kuchar's right at 124.
Hoochie.
Wow. Patrick Rogers, 123, young kid. Bo Hogue, 120, right at 125. CT Pan, the bronze medalist at the Tokyo Olympics right now, sitting at 120. There's a lot of good. Ches Reavy at 114. I mean, Gary Woodland. You want to talk about a guy that has gotten himself into the playoffs because of his last couple weeks? Great showing at the 3M, played very well at the Barracuda this past week, and was able to get up from 119th up to 108. So, you know, it's possible. It's possible. You just got to get there, guys. You just got to play. So we'll see who's able to, you know, there are a couple names here and there. Not Harry Higgs is right at 80. He's good. He's in there. But yeah, we'll definitely be able to see who's going to take it home. And without further ado,
just wanted to throw in, just looking up Sedgefield Country Club where the Wyndham's being played. Donald Ross design. Sam Snead's won it 8 times. The 18th hole, members par 5. Member converted to a par 4 for the tour guys. Says it's going to be probably the hardest hole. Just keep it as a 5. Keep it as a 5.
We would love to see some eagles in the last hole.
There's nothing better. I would rather it be a short par 5 than a long par 4. Any day of the week.
Not like it really matters, but I mean, what's the fun in sucking out a shot? I mean, come on.
We want to see an eagle to win, not a par to win.
Right. Exactly.
Short par 5. That would be amazing. We should do that.
I know, right? Imagine that. Short par 5 to win.
I mean, you guys might like that little tidbit.
We do. I thank you for the Mikey's tidbit. Thank you. That was another episode of Mikey's Tidbits, everyone.
A little water out there, some creeks. Some brooks, some waterways. So doesn't look like there's as much water as St. Jude. And what are you gonna do?
Who do you guys got winning, or not winning? But who do you guys got in your lineups? We gotta see.
We'll go right to it.
Let's do it.
Go ahead. Who's up first? I went first last week.
I'll go first. I'll
excellent.
Shoot from the hip. My lineup's boring as hell. I didn't want to take any. I took Brooks last week. I mean, he stunk. He did. That guy was so disinterested. He should have never played. And therefore, I'm just gonna stay with the middle of the pack. You know, don't have any bums in my lineup, but don't have any studs. Bubba Watson, $9,000. Bubba, shot shaper, crafty. Give me some Bubba this week.
Scotch shaper.
Bob McIntyre. Guy's been playing lights out.
Scottish Claymore, baby. Unbelievable. Like, unbelievable.
Two lefties to spearhead the ball club.
Also not a PGA Tour guy. He has to win in order to get into the top 125 because he's technically on the European Tour.
Big time. Big dick Rick Fowler.
He's got to win. I mean, he's got to get in.
Got him in my lineup. He's going to play well. I think he's going to be there come playoff time. I think he's a gamer. I think he knows a lot's riding on this week. So swing it, Rick. Swing it. Charles Schwartzel, South African, steady Eddie. Don't get cut. Brent Snedeker. Sned.
Won this tournament. Has won it a couple times, I believe.
Yep.
Another sneaky guy who putts lights out and just has a way about him that could shine bright this week. And then we'll round it out with a little Harold Varner III rocking his Jordans.
Yeah.
Weigh in on Harold. Hold it down. Be the anchor. Don't get cut. Worst player on the team, price-wise. But I listened to a little interview of him couple months ago, and cool dude, you know, just low key, cool dude, laid back, confident guy, good golfer, wears Jordans. What else do I need to say?
Nothing at all. Then what do you think? Would you like to go? Or would you like myself to go?
Any of you guys win cash last week?
No, just missed.
Me neither.
Oh, no. Really missed because Jason Kokrak, Tony Finau, and Louis Oosthuizen were all just like, play the last round? Nah.
Yeah, I was in the money like Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, but just saw that ticker quickly, steadily go.
Mm-hmm.
Go towards the median.
And that potential color just like getting smaller, the pie chart of that potential color. Yep, just go down and down. Brendan, I'll go second because I do have some similar picks as Michael. All right, starting right off with the theme of my lineup is that these guys have something to lose. These guys have that much more kick in the pants that they need to get back either above the line, or they need to better themselves to get above the second line to be eligible for the following week.
Pressure.
Also some Ryder Cup consideration. That's where my Bubba Watson comes into play. My Bubba Watson, he loves the Ryder Cup. He wants to be on that Ryder Cup team. If he pulls out a victory or two, my God, how can you not? I mean, I don't know where he is on that list, but Bubba Watson, he's maybe not the greatest locker room guy, but to have a lefty and to have someone hit creative shots on the Ryder Cup team, love it. Bubba Watson, I mean, he's been playing well. He's always played well at the Travelers. We saw that he played well. Didn't win, obviously, but he's there. Ricky Fowler, like Mike said, have him. Gary Woodland, he is actually high on the list for the Ryder Cup tournament, and that's because it's a 2-year list and he won the US Open, whatever, 2 years ago or whatever. And he is still part of that Ryder Cup consideration. So he's got a lot to lose and a lot to gain with a good showing. Justin Rose, he is below that 125 mark. I was so surprised when Brendan said that last week. He is in my lineup. He's got a lot to lose, a whole lot to gain. Sebastian Munoz, silver medalist, right? Not silver medalist. He didn't even win that. But Sebastian Munoz playing well. That was Rory Sabatini. Sebastian Munoz playing well for our flex deal. Got to put him in there. He has he's right on the cusp for the second cut for the Northern Trust, but he is well within the first event. And then my last very good value pick, he won this tournament 2 years ago. He is also 130th on the FedEx Cup list, very right on the cusp. Camilo Villegas, the man who gets down on all fours to look at his putts in that Spider-Man like way. Camilo Villegas, $6,600. That's my lineup. Let's get to it.
Camilo. That's a blast from the past. I didn't even know he still played.
Oh, yeah. Winner in 2014.
2014. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. So I also put in a fantastic lineup. It's been a long time coming. It took a lot of thought, but here we are. First player I'm taking, Webb Simpson. He's very expensive, and there is a reason why he is very expensive. In the past 4 years at the Wyndham Championship, he has gone T3rd, second, T3rd, fifth. Automatically in that lineup, baby. He's going to have a fantastic week. and he's going to move up from like 40th to like 37th in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
He won it in 2011.
Yeah. Wow. He crushes this tournament. Like, he crushes this tournament. Like, I don't understand, but he loves it. He just loves the Wyndham, man. So we're taking him. He's in there. Second player I am picking is Kevin Kisner, another guy who enjoys this tournament. T3rd last year. Think he's going to have a really good week as well again, and think he could crack right in there. Now, next up at 8,300, I have Kevin Streelman. He's kind of safe, but you know, he's been having a really, really good year so far. And yes, it's not the Travelers, so he's not going to be in the top two, but you never know with him. I think he's got a really good shot, came off a good Open Championship, hasn't played since. A little surprised about that, but you know, he'll be there, I think. My fourth pick is Justin Rose. I am with you, Tim.
Needs it.
He needs it. He's got to get in. He's been on the PGA Tour, I think, every year since, I think it was 2005 or something crazy like that. So this would be his first year not having full PGA Tour status, which for, I mean, it's Justin Rose. Like this, it'd just be unfathomable to me.
Won the FedEx Cup 2 years ago or whatever, 2017 when Tiger won.
Yep. Yeah. He won $10 million.
Yeah.
My second to last pick, the penultimate pick, 7,900. And I will say this is a reach, but Mito Pereira, I have been talking about him. He had a great Olympics. He's coming up. He won three straight times on the Korn Ferry Tour. So technically he qualifies. If he wins, he gets into the FedEx Cup playoffs. And boy, do I think he's got a shot. Do I think he pulls it off? Probably not, but hey, love him, keeping him in. And my last pick right here, Sam Ryder.
Yes, I like that.
$6,700. This guy right now is just value, value, value. Okay, he made the cut at the John Deere, finished 58th. Third place overall at the Barbasol, 25th at the 3M, 34th at the Barracuda. Honestly, if you're going to win a little bit of money, all you need is just six guys to make the snip. That's all you need. If you get six guys in, you're almost guaranteed money. I think Sam Ryder's one of these guys who could make the cut and maybe do a little bit of damage too.
Snip, snap, snip, snap.
All you need, just get over that snip, snip. That's all you need. So that's me, guys. Really looking forward to this. I think it'd be it's always a great tournament. For some reason, Webb Simpson just decides this is the one tournament he's going to play in really well all year. So we'll see if he does it again.
I like it. All right. Let's make the best lineup win. You know, that's how the
daily fantasy gods work, baby. How the daily fantasy gods work.
Bogey in for the
boysy? We're doing some bogeys for the boys. So I will start. I did not play this week. I know, boomy. Boo. I did not play. I was going to play on Saturday, but my sister made a very surprise visit up to Boston. Ooh. So I went out with her and one of my buddies, and then she went over to some of her friends' house, and yeah, just unfortunately didn't have the time. So
Timmy, we gotta make some more time. Out. I mean, when was the last time you played golf?
With you, Mike. Like 2 weeks ago.
Jeez.
Two weeks ago. In the pouring rain. That didn't even count. In hurricane force winds.
That didn't even count. We stunk so bad.
We did. We really did. Oh, it was awful.
We gotta get out there. Maybe this weekend.
You gotta get out there and play some golf again.
Oh. Yeah, me and Timmy.
I'm thinking I'm going to play Sunday.
Me and Timmy got out 5:45 in the morning on Friday.
Yep, that's right.
No thanks.
I hadn't seen 5 a.m. ever.
I was just about to say, Michael.
I was there on time, ripping, roaring, ready to go.
Timmy, can you confirm?
He was there at, he was there at like 5:40.
Yeah. 5:42.
Yeah. Wow. And then, The sunrise on the forecast or whatever in the almanac was set to rise at 5:45 on the dot. Our tee time was 5:45. We couldn't see the ball in front of us because it was so foggy and it was dark. I mean, it was practically half light.
But I had a blast. Great day. Great weather. Played with Tim's brother, Brian, and his college bud. Tim's brother, Ian. College bud, Connor. Played Wolf, as Timmy wanted to say right there. Timmy, you want it?
The entire 18 holes we played Wolf.
You want it?
18 holes.
So you might as well explain the rules because...
I know
what Wolf is, but just for our listeners, I want to make sure that they know what Wolf is.
Mike, take that away.
Yeah, Wolf is a wonderful game. So you determine a set order. So you're always going in a set order, but it bumps one up every hole. So if you go first, next hole you go second, following hole you go third, following hole you go fourth, then you go first, second, third, fourth. The Wolf always is the fourth player to tee off. And the cool part is as the Wolf, you get to choose after each shot whether you want to partner up with said shooter. So if you're the Wolf, first player tees off, rips a drive into the woods, you're going to pass on that, obviously. You don't want to team up with someone who's hit a shitty drive. Second person tees off, hits a good drive, you have to make that decision then and there. Do you want to partner up with that individual? You can, you can't, it's up to you. If you pass, you can choose that third driver. If they hit a shitty shot, you can bypass everybody and go as the lone Wolf, 1 versus 3. Now it's just best ball. So Wolf, last player to go, say you par the hole, 1 versus 3, say one of the other three individuals makes a birdie, you lose. You're now, again, the loser on the hole, and therefore points go towards the group of three and not towards the Wolf. So it's a point game. You can kind of score it however you want. You can, we decided to do best ball for that hole. So if it was 2-on-2 and the Wolf chose a partner, whatever the lowest score was with one team versus the other was the winner, and they were awarded said number of points, which can also be played around with. But very fun game, especially if you don't have like four good golfers. It's a good game for four, just kind of all over the place. Not real handicaps are varying. Lot of fun, keeps everybody interested. I'm teammates with Timmy on hole one. I'm teammates with Brian on hole two. I'm back with Tim on hole three. I'm by myself on hole four. So it's fun, man. And the player who hits good shots and scores well, I think I won't, it's a humble brag. I did barely squeak out the win. I think I shot an 88 and Timmy and Brian were right behind me, but I was dead last in Wolf by a mile. Like I was in dead last and wasn't even close. So a lot of it is just how you do on said holes and how your teammates do. And it's a hell of a time. So for those listening, if you're ever in a foursome and don't want to play team match play or skin, stroke play, match play, throw a new game in there called Wolf. And feel free to reach out to this pod if you ever have any questions.
Honestly, I think that'd be a great game to play with like Ryan and Sam. Like that'd be a fun little game.
Oh, yeah.
You get like four of them.
All different levels. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you make a hole in one on hole two, hole three, you're going in a set order. You're not the first to tee off. Set order.
Imagine being the lone Wolf. Oh, imagine putting all that money on yourself.
That's the fun part though. I was in dead last. I was down like Brian had like 13, Timmy had like 12, Connor had like 8, and I'm at like 2. Like points. We did a point system based on how you did.
Well, that's great.
And as the Wolf coming down the home stretch, you obviously get more points. You know, you can again tailor your point system however you want. But if you choose to be the lone Wolf and you win as the lone Wolf, you should be granted more points because you're going 1 against 3. So at the end of the day, if you're down big and you want to try and make up some ground, and
you lone wolf it,
you lone wolf it, and you take that risk. And we tied a lot of holes, so they just kind of pushed to the next hole. We didn't really do pushes, as in kind of make that next hole worth more or have holes and split points. It's kind of pointless, but hell of a game. Highly recommend.
Yep. 100%. 100%. One game that's, yep, Mike shot an 88, I shot an 89. On the last hole, Mike had to, even though Mike was out of it, Mike had to pair with me in order to have Brian be still in contention. So basically, whoever won that hole would win it all, because there was only like a 1 or 2 point difference. And in order, so Mike, even though he usually is partners with Brian on everything else, he chose me so that Brian had a chance to win. It was very cool. I would have done the exact same thing to keep it interesting. It was very cool.
So it's coming down the home stretch. You can kind of check the scoreboard. And again, the way we scored it, selected Brian as my teammate, it kind of would have negated a winner. It would have either validated Timmy as the outright winner, or it would end in a tie. I didn't want that. So I wanted to kind of have that last hole mean something.
I like it.
Wolf, check it out. Play it out.
I like it a lot.
Play it out.
Play now, finally, boys, to close it out, as we always do. You ready, Timbo? You ready for the Chooch Golfer Poll? Let's do it.
All right, boys and girls, you are only allowed a set amount of holes per week and played in only a certain set of borders. So if you are, for the rest of your life, you are only allowed to play the set amount of holes in the set amount of orders that I am about to state, which one would you choose? So would you rather play in 1 week, three separate nine-hole matches, or three separate nine-hole rounds, never playing an 18-hole round, never doing that, or, and those can be played
27 holes a week, three separate nine-hole rounds, 27
separate nine-hole rounds, but never play an 18-hole round, and those are on three separate days, or would you rather play 1 day a week, 36 holes? So you are playing 36 holes a week for that one particular day every week, or would you rather play 9 holes for 3 days of the week? And that's only 27 holes.
Ooh, that's a good one. My mind jumped to 36 for some reason, but I thought about it for a split second after.
The second 18 on your 36 is always horrendous. Yeah. Like, you're always awful. I don't know, Tim. Maybe it's because I drink like on the second 18. Like, I know you gave up the sauce. Like, do you play bad on the second 18 when you do 36?
Yeah, you're tired.
Yeah, right? So, like, that's the thing.
Ooh, I want to play 18, though. Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a great workout for you. So I might go with the 36. You just start at 7 a.m. and.
But then you only play one time a week.
Still playing more than you're still playing more holes, though.
I know you are. 27 versus 36. Fuck.
It's a lesson.
Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 36. Maybe I'll cut down some poundage too. So that might be nice. Getting that big workout in on like a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning. Oh, be great. Also, I think if you were, I mean, I know we all have jobs and stuff, so we can't do it. But like, if you were able to play 36 on like a random Wednesday, I think you'd be fine. Because there's no one there besides you. Be great.
Man, this question sucks. No.
Are you ready to clip that?
100%.
I'm going with three nines. I mean, I love.
You're a big nine guy already, though.
I do like playing nine. I'm no Bryson. You can ask my brother. I mean, he's so freaking slow. I'm just boom, bang, bang, boom, trying to get through, get in, get out.
At one point when me and Mike were playing, neither of us were doing practice shots. We were literally addressing the ball and just hitting.
It was shitty regardless. I mean, no one needs to see my practice swings. And it doesn't rehearse anything.
We were also playing very poorly in the middle of a rainstorm. So we were like, let's just keep going.
I mean, I can hit the ball three times before many people can hit it once. And that's probably just a mixture of bad shots and quick play. But no, I think 3 9-hole separate acts of golf per week, consider it done. I mean, I don't want to cram 36 into one day. I don't want my back to be flaring up. My lower back already hates me as it is. I want golf to be a relaxing, enjoyable game. And I think spreading out 27 holes over a week, maybe it's at three different courses if Tim's allowing it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm choosing. I do love playing 36. Don't get me wrong. I'll sign up to play 36 any day of the week, but I think for the longevity of my body and mental state, I think I'm going 3 9 holes.
All right. I like it. My first thought was I want to set aside a day that's just golf. I want to go and play 18 holes. I want to have a nice day at lunch. And then I want to, play another 18 holes. With I can actually practice during the week. Like I can go to a range or something like that and then just have that one day be the day I play golf rather than just go to the range or practice, whatever. But then I went to later on in life and I was thinking about the leagues. I used to play in two leagues a week. 9 holes each day. And I had more fun playing in those leagues, just something to play for. And 9 holes was enough. I mean, I did play 2 9-hole rounds in a row, 2 9-hole leagues in a row. But that was
like
enough.
Back to back?
No. Like Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
And it was the start of my weekend every Friday night and Thursday night and Friday night. I just looked forward to them. I would clock out of work and zoom to Chamawa. And so if I could do like 3 9-hole leagues, that's when I could really enjoy golf. And for the longevity, like you said, Mike, for my future, I would like to do 9-hole rounds. The only stink part is that like when you want to play a destination course, that's the only bad part.
36 holes.
It's 9. No, just
we're playing it twice.
We'll go to Bandon and just play 9.
Imagine that. Imagine playing Augusta National the front 9.
Yikes. One day.
Just play the back the next day.
Imagine that. You're there for one day. Do you want to play the front 9 or do you want to play 36? Easily 36.
Easily 36.
There we go. I was right. I was correct.
Brendan, all right, 36.
When you're it's a lifetime game though, Brendan. When you're 75 and that ass is dragging and your back is aching, I mean, you're not going to want to play 36.
You know, the best part about being the host on the Zoom is that I can mute anyone who I wanted, and I really wanted to mute Mike right there.
Brendan, you're pulling me to your side though too, cuz like I'm thinking about like the in between now and when I'm old. And like,
I don't care when I'm old, like whatever. I'll switch it back.
I go to
Pebble Beach. Call him Mulligan.
Just the front line of Pebble Beach. I want to play the 18th hole at Pebble Beach.
I want to play the 18th hole twice at Pebble Beach.
Right. I hate my own question.
We're back. We're back. Oh man. Boys, it's been real. It's been fun. Been real fun as always. Unbelievable hat. Getting ready. There may be a concert in attendance this weekend. Who knows?
Wow.
Maybe.
Wow. The Buffett Man.
Do you know the Buffett Man?
I'm gonna
Buffett Man. The Buffett Man.
He's coming to town. He is coming to town. Ticket prices are dropping.
Dropping like flies. It's crazy.
It's been too long since we've been to Jimmy.
It has. It has indeed. We doing it? I can't hear it.
It's so weird why the audio doesn't play loud. Like,
Hold on. There we go. All right, Duff Daddy, Duff Mamas, get out there. Let it fly. Let it fly, everyone.
Way better.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar soul. Oh.